I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, Karma Yoga. Karma plays a very important role in human life. Through karma, we form our character. Human character is nothing but the sum total of impressions which we gather through action. That action may be physical, may be mental, may be verbal. There are three types of action. Physical action, kayika, vachika, manasika, va. Physical, mental action, thinking is also an action, and verbal. So we get impressions inside through these three processes, through these actions. Now, the path of action is very mysterious. Same karma, same action can be performed two persons simultaneously and the result will be different. For example, if we speak lie, you will have to face the bad effect of lies, untruth. But by saving others' life, you can speak lie, and that may give you virtue. Speaking lie is vice. Speaking truth is virtue. But sometimes speaking lie, one can acquire, attain virtue. The famous story in the Mahabharata, there was a sage named Kaushika who was meditating near the crossroad, and a traveler passed by. After a short while, some robbers came and asked the holy man, "Could you tell us in which direction the traveler has gone?" So the holy man told them the truth. He has gone through this direction. So the robbers caught that traveler, killed him, and the entire scene went to that holy man because he spoke the truth. He told the truth. So the scripture says, for saving others' life, you can speak lie. Just see. Same action may create different result. Verse 6. Karmendriyani sangyema yaste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudhatma mithachara svay ucchati. Verse number 6. He who restrains his organs of action but continues to dwell in his mind on the objects of the senses, deludes himself and is called a hypocrite. This is a very, very important verse in the Gita. Karmendriyani sangyama, physically, he is not doing anything wrong. But mentally, he is enjoying the world. Krishna says he is a hypocrite. You see, Arjuna wanted to be a mendicant, a monk. Krishna said, it is not your swadharma. You should follow your duty. So here, Krishna reminds Arjuna that be careful. There are some people in this world. Physically, they do not do anything, but they enjoy the vicarious enjoyments, which is very bad. It shows that person is a hypocrite. You see, in spiritual life, there are so many obstacles. There was a man in Dakshineshwar during Sri Ramakrishna's time. whose name was Hazra. He used to repeat mantra showing his rosary. He was poor. He used to ask money from the people of Dakshineshwar, of money, people who would visit Sri Ramakrishna in Dakshineshwar. It was, people knew that he was a hypocrite. He was showing his religiosity. But mentally, he had some motives. He wanted money from the people. Krishna said to Arjuna that you wanted to be a mendicant, but still your mind is not sufficiently pure. You will fall. Your desire will force you to do your duty. So long you have desire, it is very, very difficult to renounce the world. There was a king who went to visit his guru in the forest. He was a yogi. The guru said to the king, "Why don't you stay with me for some time and practice some spiritual disciplines here?" The king said, "Oh guru, please don't ask me to be with you. Because still the kingdom, the enjoyment is in my mind. If I be with you, I shall build another kingdom in your forest." Because we, wherever we go, we carry our minds. You may go to Sierra Mountain, you may go to the retreat, but if your mind is not trained, you will carry the same worldly stuff in those holy, auspicious sanctuaries. All those places. Mitha charo sayuchati. It is very, very difficult to become a monk. At every step, you will have to give test. People may not see, but your antaratma, your indwelling self is watching all the time. Your conscience will bite. That what am I doing? There is a saying in our language that without coloring your mind, O yogi, why did you color your cloth? This is the color of the monastic cloth, you see, ochre cloth. First, dye your mind with ochre color, means renunciation, and then take the monastic vow, otherwise you will fall. Sri Ramakrishna said again and again, do not do it through force, as Krishna Arjuna was trying to renounce the world forcefully. Krishna asked him, follow the natural path, Shadharma. Sri Ramakrishna also said the same thing. If you have a wound and if a scab forms on the wound, if it is raw, if you try to remove that scab, it will bleed. Do not touch it. Let it be healed automatically. A time factor is there. When the wound is internally healed, the scab will fall automatically. You will not have to force it. Same thing in this world. So long you God kept you in the world, stay. Inside, cultivate love for God. Gradually, this world will leave you. You will not have to leave the world. Girish Ghosh, the Bohemian devotee of Sri Ramakrishna, said that, I did not leave wine. I did not give up wine. Wine left me. He had so much love and faith in God. All his bad habits left him, could not stay with him. You know, if your mind dwells in God, there is no worldly power, evil power can live there. They will say goodbye to you. We give an example. If you have flashlights around the house at night time, you will find the thieves will be scared to come to your house because they think that the owner of the house is watching me through the window. But if the place is dark, the thieves will come. So if you illumine your heart through love, through knowledge, no thieves will be able to enter there. Thieves are passion, jealousy, hatred, anger. They are all thieves. They steal our minds. That Krishna said in the Gita. Sometimes we find some people externally very calm, bashful, shy, humble, but inside they are very, very restless. They are called bapodharmika, virtuous craving. There is a beautiful story in the Ramayana, maybe it is a folklore. One day Rama said to his brother Lakshmana, "Brother, look that crane. He is so calm, quiet, serene. And look, my mind. Look at my mind. The Ravana, the great demon, kidnapped my wife. My mind is breaking, is falling apart. I am crying for my wife. If I could get the peace and serenity like that crane, I would be happy." In the meantime, a fish raised its head from the lake and said to Rama, "Rama, whom do you say virtuous, serene, calm? That rogue number one, that crane, do you think he is still, he is serene? He is meditating on me. He finished my whole family. He ate my wife, my children, and now he is trying to eat me. So he is seated there, you know, he is concentrating on me, that when I shall raise my head and he will grab me. So there are some people, externally very polished, accomplished, calm, quiet, serene, shy, bashful, humble. But if you watch their insides, terrible storm, a cyclone is blowing all the time in their minds. Swamiji once mentioned that chapa lajup prakritir lokera jokhon rage tokhon khub durdanto hoy. You will find some people very suppressive, uptight. They want to, however, they don't like to talk anything, you know. Inside, brooding and very shy and very reserved. When they burst, they become terrible. It is better to be open and frank. You see, human character is very, very complex. Karmendriyani sangyamma yaste manasasmaran Indriyarthan Bimurhatma. Krishna put a beautiful example. Bimurhatma, he's a deluded person, dull-headed person, mithachara, hypocrite number one. That he who controls externally very polished, internally is terrible. It ruins the system. You know, externally you may not be very beautiful, but internally your physical, vital signs, if they are very good, you are happy. But suppose you have a various kinds of ailments inside, outside you look beautiful. That doesn't mean anything. You are miserable. You may not show your disease to others, but you are really miserable. Next verse. Yastu indriyani manasa niyamya arahate arjuna karmendriyai karma karmendriyai karma yogam asakta sa vishishyate. But he who restrains his senses with his mind and directs his organs of action to work with no feeling of attachment, he, O Arjuna, is indeed superior. The other person who has control over his mind and the senses, and he is busy in the activities, he is doing something in this world without attachment, he is superior than that type of mendicant. You see, Krishna here is comparing two persons, Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi. Arjuna wanted to be the follower of knowledge, who renounces the world and becomes a mendicant. Krishna says that is not your path. You are choosing a wrong path. Your path is Karma Yoga. First, practice Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? Work for the Lord without seeking any result. That is Karma Yoga. So, your path is Karma Yoga. Through this process, you will get purification of the mind. When your mind will be purified, then you renounce the world. I remember in one of our Gita classes, our teacher told a beautiful story that there are two reservoirs. One was near the lake, near the river. The other was distant, far away from the river. The depth of the each tank is the same. During summer, the tank which is far away from the river became dry, and the bottom was full of cracks. And the tank which is near the river was not dry at all. There was a little water at the bottom, and it was soggy, muddy. He said that in the monastic life, you know, those who come to realize God, if they are attached to their, you know, home, hearth, family, back pulling, you may say, they will never be cracked, they will never be thirsty for God. When rain comes, that reservoir, which is full of cracks, enjoys water than the reservoir, which is near the river. You will taste God better if you are hungry, if you are thirsty. He compared, you know, in monastic life, one must go to God. One must be close to God. One must leave the world. After realizing God, come back to the world. Hey, help others. That is fine. In the beginning, be uncompromising. Try to realize God. Have some devotion. As Sri Ramakrishna said, first be butter. If the milk should be churned. When the butter comes from the milk, it will float on the surface. Then that butter will never be mixed with the water anymore. So Sri Ramakrishna said, first have some devotion, love for God. That is butter. You will never be contaminated by the worldliness. That Sri Ramakrishna said. That is the same teaching of the Gita. First love God. Then go back to the world. You will enjoy the world better. There are two types of Paramahamsas, sadhus. One is a Jnani Paramahamsa, another is a Premik Paramahamsa. Jnani Paramahamsa is happy when he attains illumination. He does not care for anybody else. He thinks, well, why should I bother to help others? If I try to help others, they will bite me and I shall get pain. What is the necessity? Why should I have headache for others? That Swami Brahmananda told that fantastic story of a holy man who was taking bath in the river, and he found a scorpion was floating, was carried by the current of the river. He rescued that scorpion by his hand, and that scorpion bit the holy man. He put that scorpion on the ground, and he got terrible pain from that sting of the scorpion. And again that scorpion jumped into the river. Again that holy man caught that scorpion and rescued him. In this way, three times that holy man rescued that scorpion, and three times he was bitten and he got terrible pain. A man was nearby, asked the holy man, why are you doing such you know, foolish things. Why are you saving that horrible creature? The holy man replied, the nature of a holy man is to help others, and the nature of the scorpion is to bite others. I cannot give, as the scorpion cannot give up his nature, so I cannot give up my nature. So it is my nature to help others. What to do? If you bite, I shall suffer, but still I shall help you. I cannot give up my nature. It is inherent. Bhasha, then what is the sign of a premik sadhu? Premik sadhu, a loving soul, after realizing God, lives in this world. He eats mango and shares the same mango with others. He digs his own well and saves the basket and shovel for others, for the neighbors. When the neighbors come, he says, well, do you want to dig a well in your property? Have all these things from me. You will not have to buy. He is an ideal householder. Sri Ramakrishna said, Basha Pakre Shahar Dekho. That is a beautiful analogy or beautiful parable. A holy man came to see the city, and he first found a lodging, and he put his bundle there. Then he went in the evening to see the Vanity Fair. On the street, he met another holy man. And this holy man asked, Basha Pakurliya, did you find a place? Yes, I did. The other person had a bundle on his back. The moral of this story is that if you have a big bundle on your back, you cannot enjoy the beauty, the scenery of the city. First, you will have to find out a place to put that heavy luggage there, and then you go out. It means that if you realize God, that means you have got your own abode. Then you go to the world, enjoy the world. You will never be deluded in your life. That is the moral of that story. Love God, realize Him. Then go to the world. You will never be deluded by Maya. Karmen manas karma yastu. Indriyani manasa niyama arabhate Arjuna. Manasa, by the mind. This person, this jnani, controlled the senses by the mind. And then, senses means the sense organs of knowledge. But through the organs of action, he is performing work. His position is higher than that hypocrite mendicant. Jitam rasam jitam sarve. He who has controlled his tongue, he has controlled everything. Asaktu sa vishishati. He is unattached. Being unattached, he performs action. Niyatam kuru karmattam karma jyayo hiya karmanaha sharira yatra pichate na prasiddhid akarmanaha. Krishna further says, do your allotted action, for action is superior to inaction. And even the bare maintenance of your body will not be possible if you remain inactive. Arjuna, you want to be a mendicant, you want to renounce action, you want to give up this war, which came to you as a duty, it is a righteous war. You are fighting against injustice, but you want to escape out of fear, out of confusion, out of delusion, out of cowardice, out of weakness. But listen. Action is better than inaction. Shuriro yatrapi na cha chate na prasiddhi akarmanaha. Even you cannot maintain your body, You cannot survive in this world without performing any action. There are various kinds of action. Sadharan karma, eating, sleeping, all these things. Nitya karma, daily obligatory duties, morning, evening, prayer. Kamya karma, action which is done out of desire. I want to go to heaven. I shall do this thing for that purpose. Then noimittika karma, accidental or some kind of duties, you know, I do some special worship, that is noimittika karma. I have a philosophy regarding this karma. Suppose a person did something wrong in this life, and he will have to carry perhaps that guilt all through his life. But this karma, good karma, can overcome that feeling. Vishwami, could you give a specific example? There's a story in the Chandogya Upanishad. Once upon a time, there was a terrible famine. In that famine, many people are killed. A sage named Rekha was traveling from one country to another country to save his life. He found some horse food on his way and he ate it for saving his life. He was thinking that if I could save my life, though I am doing something wrong, I am not supposed to eat that food, but by practicing austerity and spiritual discipline, I shall attain punya, virtue, and I shall overcome this action. So it is possible. It is possible. Swami, could you give another example? Suppose you did 5 or 10% bad action, something bad in your life. That result will come to you. And you did 90% good action in your life. That result will come near you. And this 90% result will overwhelm this 5% or 10% bad action. So see, this karma theory is very, very important. That is the position of Vedanta, that you did 1 or 2 mistakes in your life, not necessarily you will have to put a sackcloth on your face and all through your life you cry and weep. I am a sinner. No, it is not necessary. That is a very hopeful message of Vedanta. Let be gone, be by gone. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayohi akarmanah. Work incessantly. Once one of our monks went to the Holy Mother and said to her, Mother, I have become monk to practice japam and meditation, practice and to read the scripture. And I have come here and here so much activities, you know, publication work, this, that. I have not become monk for this reason, for that purpose. Holy Mother looked at him and said, my son, who will feed you? If you want to meditate on God and use your entire day for prayer and for your own, why don't you go to the Himalayas and depend on God and beg your food? Why will you stay here in Calcutta, in the monastery? Here devotees bring food for the monks, and in exchange the monks create a spiritual atmosphere there so that the devotees can imbibe that atmosphere. It is reciprocal. You go to the Himalayas. This place is not for you. If you stay here, you will have to work. You are working for the children of God. Those devotees, they are children of God. They come here for peace, for joy. They have so much problems in their lives. They come to the temple, to this monastery, to this holy place for peace, for happiness. And if you cannot do a little work for them, why will they feed you? Holy Mother was, you see, though she had no education, but she was a very, very pragmatic woman. She told the right thing to that monk. Sri Ramakrishna trained her. Sri Ramakrishna did not care for lazy people. And she won't allow to stay with him. He brought, Sri Ramakrishna got some jute fibers and gave to Holy Mother. You make some kind of, I do not know, they call it shike, some hanging, you know, they knit it and then they can store some groceries inside that. It is some kind of hanging. Why do you call it shike? Do you know? You do not, I also, that English word is not coming. Anyhow, they give the room space, you know, floor space is little, then they hang it with the roof. There is some rod, you know, iron rod, and they hang all those things. So anyhow, Holy Mother had to work. If you work, your mind will be active. Even in this country, the Mormons, the Calvinists, they are very, very active people. No work, no food. That is the Mormon slogan. If you go to the Salt Lake City, no work, no food. That is the way they build that place. Niyatam Kuru Karmattam. That is a wonderful message of Krishna in the Gita. Work incessantly. Work incessantly, Arjuna. If you have a little mistake, you know, if any defects in your character, that will not be visible if you work constantly. Idle brain is the devil's workshop. Work. Work for the Lord. Karma jayo hi akarmana. Action is better than inaction. Even you cannot survive in this world without action, and you are trying to escape from that. You see, there is a hint in this verse. Krishna says, Arjuna, you belong to the royal family, don't you remember? And you all through your life gave charity to the people. Now you are going to, select a path which will ask you to beg from the people. You cannot give, you are not taking the position of the giver. You are taking the position of a receiver. So you are changing your entire lifestyle, don't you know? Be careful. It will not suit your system, I know it. Follow your sadharma, your natural tendency. Next verse.
Yajñarthat karmano vannatra lokayam karma bandhanah tadartam karma kunteya mukta sangam samacharah.
The world becomes bound by action unless it be done for the sake of sacrifice. Therefore, O son of Kunti, give up attachment and do your work for the sake of the Lord. If you do not perform action for the Lord, if you work for yourself, you will be bound. What does it mean, you will be bound? As I explained to you many times, a cycle is moving in this way. Ignorance, desire, action. It is continuously rotating. Why do you work? Because you have desire. Why do you have any desire? Because you have ignorance. In this way, this cycle is constantly moving. If you want to get rid of this cycle, hold on God. illumine your heart, then you will not have to move.
Jagyarthat karmano anyatra. Yajna. What is yajna? Yajna means sacrifice. Another meaning of yajna is Vishnu, the God.
Lokuayam karma bandhana.
Generally, work binds a person because it is done for motive. What is the motive? Selfishness. Without self motive, there cannot be any work. I will have to save my body, I will have to save my family, I will have to save my home, I will have to earn money for my old age. So all these motives are functioning within me. So I am working, I am earning money, saving money, making home. Say, in this way we work. Krishna says that work will bind you. But sir, shall I not perform work for my sake? No, don't do that. Then how shall I survive in this world? Work for the Lord. Don't take the ownership. Then you are saved. Let your home be God's home. Let your body be God's body. You see, this is the most important thing in the karma yoga. In the karma yoga, do you know what is Krishna teaching? Do you know what Krishna wants to say? He says, change the attitude. Have everything, only don't take the ownership. It is Lord's. Seldom, if you ask an Indian woman, ask that, is this your son? Is this boy your son? If she is a wise woman, she will say, God gave me. She will not say, my son. God gave me. Means she does not want to get the ownership. She does not want the ownership of her own son. That is the way they were trained. God gave me.
Mukto sanga samachara. Perform action without attachment.
Bhagavan Arjuna, if you work for the Lord, you will get liberation. If you work for yourself, for selfishness, for self-motive, that will bring bondage. Because one unselfish action will bring expansion to your heart. And that expansion is called life. That expansion will lead you to liberation. And selfish action will bring more selfishness. It will put you into a small cell that is called contraction. Contraction means death. Contraction is bondage. We also work. This place belongs to the Lord. We are all caretakers trying to make this place beautiful. We are working. The devotees are also work here. They come, they serve. Tasmin tushti jagat tushtam. If you satisfy God, whole world will be satisfied. Cover everything with God. Everything belongs to God. Sri Ramakrishna said, God laughs twice. When the doctor says to the mother of a sick child that I shall cure your son, God laughs, I am going to take that baby, that child. And this doctor is so proud, he thinks that he will be able to cure that sick boy. And God laughs another time when two brothers divide the land, putting a rope in between, that portion is yours, this portion is mine. God laughs, the whole universe belongs to me, these poor children, these poor fellows are trying to divide my universe. Tasmin tushti jagat tushtam. If God is pleased, whole world will be pleased. Krishna says, mukta sanga samachara. Perform action without being attached. There is a difference between the paid worker and the volunteer worker. Paid worker is bound to work because the master bought him, can force him. But the volunteer worker has prestige because he does not want any money from the person. So he is free. He works with joy, with happiness. But the paid worker, he is pressured. He works with pain. A volunteer worker gets appreciation. I do not expect anything from you. I want to serve you. And God is also pleased with that person who does not seek anything from him. He who wants the worldly things I give to them. And if any person seeks, wants me, I give them me as well as everything of the world. You see, sometimes we notice mukta sanga samacharam. We work with motive, not necessarily physical motive. That day I was reading a letter in Abby's column that a lady wrote to Abby that I cooked such a beautiful dinner, but my husband did not praise me. So she was very hurt. She was very upset. You see, it is hard to believe that, you know, if I cook for you, you know, I am not supposed to expect any kind of praise. Seeing your face, I shall feel that you are appreciating my food. I will not have to ask that, you know, that. But if I ask, that means I am still in the domain of praise and blame. I take this way. When I lecture, suppose 40 people love my lecture. 5 people may not like my lecture at all. It should be like that. If 100%, you will find in this world that 100% people will appreciate your lecture or action. Do you think everybody appreciates Jesus' action? There are some enemies must be there. Otherwise, there will be no world. The pairs of opposites must stay in this world. Praise and blame must be there. You won't find a person in this world who is always praised and who is always blamed. It cannot be. So, suppose 40 people love my lectures, 5 people don't. So, if I hear the 5 criticisms, shall I stop lecturing here? That is my philosophy. No. Those who are criticizing me, they are my real friends. They want me to improve. Swami, you have this defect, you have this defect, please try to correct it. I appreciate it. Really, I do. I do, by the grace of Lord, I don't have that type of sensitive ego. I really appreciate. That is the way one should work. Don't expect that everybody will flatter you. It cannot be. It is impossible in this world. Sri Ramakrishna said, Manusher mukche kaj kurishna, Bhagavaner mukche kaj kar. If you work, don't see the face of human beings, see the face of the Lord. And one Swami told me, you know, if you want to work for the Lord, if you want to work in this world, try to have 2 large pockets. If praise comes, put it in 1 pocket. If blame comes, put it in another pocket. And don't look at them. Go forward. Very good. Very good advice I got from a sadhu. Don't hear anybody. Whatever comes, put in the pocket and you go forward. Then you will be able to do some work. Otherwise, if somebody criticizes me, I shall stay in my bed. I shall pass in depression for 4 or 5 days, leaving my food and sleep. If somebody criticizes me, what shall I do? Shall I commit suicide? A mukta sanga samachara. That's a beautiful word. Arjuna, perform action without attachment. Do. You know, later on, the mind becomes one's teacher. Mind says, you are on the right track, go forward. You are walking on the path of truth. Never deviate from the truth. I sometimes do some work, you know, if somebody may not like it, but I know from the bottom of my heart, it is, I am doing right. It is the truth. And I experimented that thing many times, and I noticed that it works. It must help people. In order to practice the teaching contained in this verse, let us ask ourselves how much our daily work contributes to the welfare of our family and community. We are all given the choice in this life of acting for our own personal pleasure and profit, which will lead to ill will, frustration, and insecurity, or of acting for the benefit of others, which will lead to increasing healthy security and wisdom. If we lead a selfish life, by the time the body and senses wear out, the story will have come to an end. If we lead a selfless life, our contribution becomes an eternal force, released into the stream of life, that will help in however small a way to elevate the consciousness of mankind. This is why people like Gandhi never died. His body was assassinated, but his spirit lives on in everyone who tries to be nonviolent. All right, do you have any questions? If somebody says something to Sri Ramakrishna, I do not know. Perhaps Ramakrishna can change the mind of those robbers. It is hard to say. If we say that what you would do, if I would do, I can say about myself what Ramakrishna would do, I do not. I would speak lies. I would say, because you know, I knew that that person would be killed. Because I read that Mahabharata story. So I would tell them, well, first I would say, no, one thing can be done. I tell you another story. Once the enemy of the Emperor Ashoka was saved by a monastery. The abbot of the monastery gave asylum to that enemy of the king. The king came to the monastery and asked the abbot, I want my enemy and I want to kill him. The abbot said, no, I shall not give your enemy. He took shelter in me. He surrendered himself to me, and I am supposed to protect his life. I shall not give him to you. I shall not hand over that person to you. Immediately he took his sword. If you do not give that enemy to me, I shall behead you. Then the monk looked at him and smiled. What? Are you not afraid of death? I shall chop off your head right now. Oh, king, you have never spoke such foolish things in your life which you have spoken right now. What do you mean? You cannot kill me. I can, I have the sword, I am the king of the country. You cannot. You may destroy my body, but you cannot touch my Atma. I am the self. I am that Atma. Just see. He did not speak lie. He faced boldly, and the king became his disciple. He said that I saw the face of that holy man. I did not see any fear of death, worry, or anxiety on his face. He was completely bold, fearless. Just see. It is possible. Perhaps Sri Ramakrishna could change his mind. It happened once. Sri Ramakrishna went to Bagh Bazar, to a devotee's house. And the devotee's name was Joginma, a widow. Her brother did not like that his sister should go to Sri Ramakrishna. So her brother engaged a ruffian, a villain of that area, to give a good teaching to Sri Ramakrishna. He was a very powerful wrestler and a hooligan, like a terrible villain, murderer. So that man was waiting outside near the gate just to give a good lesson to Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna came out from the house and he saw that man and he simply pushed him, "Kigo, kikhobo," and "Hello." Sri Ramakrishna simply touched his body and that big man was shivering like that and fell on the ground. Swami Vigyanananda was a wrestler. He was a college student, came to Sri Ramakrishna. One evening Sri Ramakrishna asked him, "Hey, do you know wrestling?" "Yes, sir." "Could you wrestle with me?" "Of course." So immediately he took his shirt like this and grabbed Sri Ramakrishna's two upper arms and pushed him on the wall. Our forcing, you know, Sri Ramakrishna's body at that time in his late 40s, you know, he died at the age of 51. His body was very feeble, soft, not very strong. Immediately from this corner of the room to the, he pushed and cast him on the wall. You know, he was a college boy, he was thinking that I won. I have defeated the master. Sri Ramakrishna was smiling. He did not do anything. He simply moved, stood, you know, there on the wall. And slowly Swami Vigyanananda ji felt the power was entering him. And he became so weak that he fell on the floor. He did not do anything, only he stood on the wall, you know, backing, slanting on the wall. But as if that robber would come to Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna would do some kind of some kind of tricks perhaps. Yes. No, actually the word is Lajuk and Namra Prakriti. You know, they show their extra, this kind of, what should I say, excessive humility and excessive bashfulness. Wherever you will find, there must be some kind of motive. Excessive humility and excessive bashfulness. No, those are not synonymous words. But shyness and bashfulness are synonymous words. Omasato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittormaya amritam gamaya, avirabirma yadhi, rudra yatya dakshinamukam, tenamam pahi nityam, om shanti shanti shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.